Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. Today I'm going to be talking about healing versus curing, and it actually addresses a question that I'm asked a lot when I'm either doing readings or doing my presentations, talking about medical intuition in general. And the question always is, aren't they the same, Carol? No, they're not. And that's what I'm going to be sharing today in the show and talking about how they are different. And hopefully my desire in sharing that information is that maybe in your own healing of your life, you can see it differently. And then in healing, participate in all the things that you can in order to make your body better than it was before. And that's really what's the primary difference between healing and curing is. Curing is restoring the body back to where it was when it became ill. Healing is making it more and better than before. So I'm going to be sharing that. Actually, the information is out of my book, Healing Happens With Your Help. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to do so. It actually talks about the hidden meanings behind illnesses. And in the book itself, I have 23 of the most common illnesses that we seem to be experiencing at this time in our health and well-being with all the stress and so forth that's going on. And I actually look at it both from the general description, but then I go into some of the psychological contributors, things that we may be saying to ourselves or the emotions that we're feeling. And then I also go in and break down the illness as far as what needs need to be met, the emotions behind it. And then what do you need to change? And at the back of the book, there is a process that shows you how to change either patterns of thought or patterns of behavior or being able to change the patterns around the attitudes you have. So again, it's Healing Happens With Your Help. You can order it through hayhouse.com or amazon.com. But I am going to be sharing a lot of the information. I actually start the book out talking about the difference between healing and curing. And so I'll go a little bit into it in the show. And then if you want more, please, I encourage you to buy the books. What I've actually learned over the course of doing thousands of medical intuitive readings, I love saying that. I'll blessed I am to have so many of you supporting my work to be able to continue refining me and helping me and then teaching me. And then in return, I get to have fun and share with you. And we get to laugh and just have a kind of a good intimate hour with each other when someone has a reading. But when I talk about the difference between healing and curing, what I always find surprising is that one begins at the soul and the other begins actually working with the body. Now, in healing, you have to start at the soul. And then what you do is you work from the soul out to the physical body. And the soul has very definitive needs. They're not even complicated. The soul needs to grow and express itself. And when we are in personal growth and spiritual evolution and we're learning, we're like that precocious, curious little child and the things that we engage in to want to make our life better, to be able to learn more about who we are, that is truly healing. Now, curing, on the other hand, is really where it starts at the physical body, and it may or may not in that process ever get to the needs of the soul. So either way will work. The only difference is that one, in healing, you have to participate. In curing, usually what we'll do is we'll go to someone else and say, please fix me. So that's one of the primary differences, and it's such a eye-opening situation for people to really discover the differences, because then they'll say, well, you know, I need to go in and find out really, really what is deeper behind this, Carol. And then I always love that, because now we can start peeling back the layers of the, you know, onions, or what I call our biographical history. And we can actually find that most of the things that are happening in our body at this time isn't something that just happened yesterday or even happened over breakfast. It's something that really our body has been trying for years and years in order to be able to restore itself with all the things we put it through. It's absolutely amazing to me that the magnificence of this physical body is we can put it under prolonged stress. We may not feed it right. We don't give it the rest that it needs. We don't give it the exercise that it needs. And I'm even talking about just getting out and just walking. Our body's kind of like that thoroughbred horse. It just needs to get out in the sunshine and walk and get exercised a little bit. Even when we don't do that, year after year after year, our body just keeps working to repair itself. what the body can't do is it can't go in and repair those emotional wounds or those negative emotions or that pessimistic attitude that we may have about certain parts of our life. I always find it interesting. I'll say to someone, are you an optimist or pessimist? And, you know, very few of us truly will admit that we have a pessimistic moment in our life. But when they say, well, I'm optimistic, and I said, in every part of your life? And they go, well, yeah, I think so. And I said, is there any part of your life that you feel that you just don't have control of, or maybe you just wake up and it just brings you down, or whatever it may be? And they say, well, sure. So when we look at optimism and pessimism, we really have to look at our whole life and look at, maybe we're optimistic on the fact that we love our work and we're passionate about it and we can't wait to get up. But maybe it's the emotional issues that we have to carry with our family, or that we have to be a caregiver, or some of the things that life just requires us. And after a while, that wears us down, and maybe we get even a little bit of pessimism. Healing says, don't go in and berate yourself for where you are. Excuse me. Just look at your life and focus on the things that you can change. Focus on the things that you have control of. If you're carrying negative emotions, let's find a way to turn those around. Affirmations, visualization, dancing, movement, music therapy. There's so many things that we can do. Gosh, sometimes just leaving the room and having a change of scenery, as crazy as that may sound, not even going from outside, just from one room to the other room, can really, really help us be able to see things differently. And that's what healing is all about. Healing is all about seeing things differently, seeing them through the eyes of your soul. I share with people, the soul is never wounded. The soul does not have emotions, but it uses emotions to be able to tell us, like a barometer, whether what we're doing is in alignment with our soul's desires or out of alignment. That's the only reason for emotions from the soul's perspective. So the soul doesn't become that wounded child that we hear about when it talks about the drama, traumas, or even illness in the body. The soul is just a part of us that every day is like a holiday. It can't wait. It's like, well, so what are we going to learn today? What are we going to do today? What do we want to attract today? And whatever we attract from the soul's perspective, as long as it's helping us grow personally and develop spiritually, it's a great day. When we compromise ourselves for whatever reasons, and we're not even aware we're doing it, our soul may make us, you know, may use the emotion that we're frustrated. The frustration isn't the soul's trying to punish us. It's just saying something needs to change. Healing always requires change. Curing requires change, but in healing, you have to do it. And in curing, someone else tells you what you have to do. Interesting, isn't it? So I'm going to be going into more of that as I go throughout the show. I'm also going to be sharing my medical intuitive skills by taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about healing versus curing, but more importantly about your health in general, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That's in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 877-230-3062. I'm going to go through as many calls as I possibly can within the time. And then again, we're going to talk more about healing versus curing. So let's start out just a little bit more, and then I'm going to jump into the calls. Let's go in the difference between healing and curing. Okay, so here we are. I said curing focuses on the physical body. What curing does, when you go to someone, and I hear people say all the time, you know, Carol, I'm cured of cancer. And I will be the first one to say, congratulations, let's pull out the box of gold stars. Great job. But when it comes down to it, and maybe they come back and they'll say, you know, Carol, it came back. And it isn't, you didn't do anything wrong. Let's just dig deeper. So in curing, what you're actually doing is you're looking at specific parts of the body. And this is what a doctor's trained to do. They come in and they look at specific parts of the body. And if you have breast cancer, that's where they're going to treat it. And they treat the symptoms, and then they treat what is obvious. In the case breast cancer, they're going to go in, do whatever's needed, whether it's just a lumpectomy or whether it's going to be a radical mastectomy. But what they don't know, because they're just not trained that way, is they don't know all the hidden implications that could be around that. For example, the right breast is grief. The left breast is disappointment. A doctor isn't going to ask you, are you disappointed in yourself? Are you disappointed with your life? Are there things that we can do to look at that life, to make it the life that you desire? It's just not the way that they're really trained. So in curing, what they want to do is they work with symptoms and they want to use medications or anything to relieve the discomfort in the body. Now, the gift of curing is that when you go to a doctor and you have the treatments or you get the medications, it does relieve the pain from the body. As a result, the mind doesn't fixate on it and it doesn't just spin and spin and spin and all you can see is your illness. So curing has a very, very important process and a part of the process and a place in the overall healing approach. But what it does is it's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a boo-boo. Now, healing, on the other hand, again, like I said, starts at the soul. And what the healing does is it seeks to identify, what are you feeling? What emotion is there? How can we transform that emotion? And how can we eliminate the obstacles that are preventing you from experiencing good health? And so the soul of the focus of the soul is to reestablish a sense of balance between the soul, the mind, and the body. Healing sees illness as a disconnection where the soul, the mind, and the body aren't talking to each other. And that's the way the old ancient metaphysicians would look at it. And what the ancient metaphysicians would do would go in and say, okay, so what is breaking down that communication? And the metaphysicians, back even with Hippocrates, the father of Western medicine, believed that all illness began as a mental illness. Now, I'm not talking about schizophrenia or paranoia or any of the others, but just thoughts that were toxic. And if you change those thoughts, if you could identify them, transform the emotion around it, and then recreate that thought, which is transmutation, voila, the body will find its way to restore itself back to good health. In healing, the healing treats all aspects of who we are and, again, makes us better than we ever were before. So very, very interesting. I'll go into this a little bit more, but I want to jump right into the reading. So, hi, is it Joletta? Line one. Hi, Joletta.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. You're from Kansas City, huh?
I am, right here in the mid heart of things, I would say.
Oh, my gosh. I love your city. It is absolutely gorgeous. And did you know where your library is? And near that park, you have an absolute magnificent healing vortex?
No. Thank you for telling me about that.
You're welcome. You know, just a little sideline of Carol. I give all this geographical stuff, too.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I'm going to check that out.
Very good. How can I help you, hon?
Well, I really appreciate your insight. And I think I'm very, very much in that stage where I really am looking at everything as a whole, you know, mind, body, and soul. And in general, I feel very healthy, and I'm just trying to tweak a few things. And in particular, I'm just sort of wondering what effect maybe thyroid or hormones or something like that might have on the mental clarity that I don't seem to have right now, the brain fog or some of those things.
Okay, very good. So let's start out. You know, you've got a combination of dynamics that are happening. You're having the changes in your hormones. Your body's having to adjust, trying to figure out. It's kind of like I was saying in a reading yesterday, when estrogen and progesterone get at odds with each other, it's like an old Abbott and Costello comedy routine, who's on first, who's on second. They just, you know, is estrogen going to run our day or is progesterone going to run our day? And then the testosterone's in there trying to act as a mediator and gets the daylight speed out of it every so often. And then it starts going, the testosterone goes, I don't want to play anymore. It diminishes. So you've got those dynamics that are going on. Now, those dynamics are going to change the basic functioning of your body, and specifically starting with metabolism. And the thyroid is one of the main areas within the body, other than the hypothalamus in the brain, that is responsible for metabolism. So while this, you know, dialogue or challenge or tension between the hormones are taking place, our metabolism starts to slow down. And that always is associated in the female body when our testosterone starts to diminish. So as a result, our metabolism slows it down, As a result, then we may have some weight gain. We may have more water retention. We may have some digestive issues. We may have some lack of clarity in our thinking. The thyroid itself does multiple things. One, of course, is metabolism. The other thing is it's also a part of moving oxygen-rich blood and protein to the brain, which is brain food. So when the thyroid starts to slow down, then our thinking starts to become fuzzier. And then there's another dynamics, honey, that we know now in the field of neurosciences is that after the age of 30, and I'm not sure why that exact magical number, it may start a little before, but it seems like at 30, we start to lose some of the brain cell capacity that we have. Now, one of the things that's changed is we can rebuild new brain cells. It used to be thought that when they started diminishing at age 30 and would continue to diminish sometimes as much as maybe 8 to 10% every year after 30, then what we're going to do is we're going to lose some of that short-term memory. It's called episodic memory. So that's why we can't seem to remember where we put the keys, or we walk out of a room and it's like, so where was I going? What was I looking for? But it also affects our ability to be able to take incoming information, match it to what we have stored in our memory archives to be able to act on it. So we've got that dynamics. The other thing that you've got going on is you're extremely intuitive. And right now, your intuition is kind of like an engine for all of us that are, we're all intuitive, but all of us that seem to have this hyper sixth sense about us. It's like a part of a, you know, a car that's been sitting in the garage for a long time. Every so often, once a week, we'll go and we'll turn it on and start it up. And it's like, woo, all of a sudden we get that little intuition jolt and we get this, you know, maybe precognitive, or we get this sense of something's happening, or we're just heightened awareness, whatever it may be, or we get our goosebumps, however it talks to us. But now what we're doing is we're being asked by the universe and the shifting of consciousness, okay, you've been starting the car every week. Now I want you to back it out of the garage. I want you to dust it off. I want you to go in and I want you to get in touch with yourself. I want you to know how your intuition talks. Start the engine, sit there. You're getting ready to go for a race, and I want you to just be prepared. And when the intuition kicks on in that hypervigilant state or hyper awareness or activity, what it does is the left brain, bless its little heart, has to go into the back seat. It's no longer in the driver's seat. And it's like a backseat driver. The intuition says, okay, where we're going to go here in the backseat driver, the old memory comes in and goes, well, do you remember when you went there when you were 13 years old? That wasn't a real good place to go. I really don't think you should. And so that dialogue creates a chemical imbalance between dopamine and then serotonin. Both of those are tied to our emotional well-being, our ability to think clearly, our appetite, metabolism, and everything else. So that's, there you are. So when you said to me, sweetie, where do we go? I've got now four different parts of you sitting on the table in front of me like a tarot deck. But now I want to go to the next thing. You have always been an intuitive creature. You have always survived on that. When you were about 16 years old, and that I had to say about because I couldn't tell whether it's just before you turned 15 or just shortly after 16, something changed in your life where you decided to put that intuition in the garage. And now it's coming out again. But what it's doing is it's trying to find an easy way to do this. Your soul is guiding you in different directions. Part of where you are, metabolism, thyroid, the confusion. And I want to be real clear. Yes, you get moments of confusion. But the most important thing I'm finding is that you're lacking the clarity in the direction that you want to go. That is the most important. That is the most important thing for you to focus your mind, your body, your soul, your intuition on. You are standing literally at that proverbial fork in the road. And you know what I'm going to tell you? It doesn't make any difference whether you go from point A to point B or you take that winding, twisty, long road. You're going to get to where you need to go. You just need to know what that looks like. So the things that are happening in the body are part of the natural maturation process. And there's nothing that I'm getting any kind of concern on. If you can, there's a book by Dr. Christiane Northrup, wonderful one, The Wisdom of Menopause. You're not quite there. Good. Go in. And all it'll do is it'll just reaffirm for you that what's going on is not something that you should be overly concerned about, that your mind should fixate on. And because if you do, honey, you're going to have a hard time getting that clarity to find out what that looks like, whichever path you take, then you're going to get frustrated. And frustration causes your brain to spin.
And I think that's where you've helped me already, because I do have that monkey mind that can fixate on things. And I also have more time where that self-talk is going on. And you know, years ago, I would be so busy, I didn't listen to what my messages were for my body. So I think I really hone in on any little imbalance, understanding that there's a broader picture and what is it trying to tell me, so I can get that in balance. So this is
absolutely awesome. And, you know, the other part of it is that both men and women get to experience this, but women, you know, we do wear so many different hats. And when we're in those younger years or raising children and everything else, that's when we start putting it on the back, you know, in the garage, as I call it.
Right.
But the thing is that if you can allow yourself to work through the minutia and to see that this is a natural part of the dynamics when our hormones start to change, and that where you want to go is you have a wonderful opportunity to look at your life differently, bringing your intuition into it, then what you'll do is then you'll reconnect with your body. And that's really what happens. We just basically, you know, I tell people as we're doing all of our stuff in life, we basically become out of body. And everybody goes, well, no, I'm not out of body. Well, we are, because we just do things. And then we reach this age that all of a sudden it's like, oh, my gosh, there's a body attached to this brain and this soul. And so it just, the body basically says, okay, my turn. And that's where it is. But I'm not getting anything. The thyroid itself, honey, is low. It's not falling off the scale. So it's not something that I could even have you go after. Your hormones are still functioning. They're not functioning optimally. You feel like you're good transitioning from that perimenopause into the menopause. You're not very deep into the menopause at all. So you've got that's going on.
Is there an issue with candida or food allergies that contributes also?
It can. But the thing is, I'm not picking that up today.
Okay, good.
But I know that that's a pattern, because I know that as, you know, and I'm going to take it away from you, but as females, we get so busy that sometimes we don't take time to eat. What we eat, we grab something that's going to give us that burst of energy that can give us a predisposition, candida. But I'm not picking that up today in you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well,
you're
really
welcome.
Appreciate your examples and your gift, and thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you are.
I'm going to go visit that vortex.
You know, I sure would. And just sit there in that library and that whole area. Magnificent. So thanks very much. Okay, let's go ahead and try to get one more in before I'm going to go to a commercial break. Hi, let's do Yvonne from Washington Line 2. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, hon. How are you?
Oh, I'm kind of like struggling a little bit, and I'm just wanting perhaps in utilizing your gift of medical intuitive.
Well, thank you. And you know what? I can tell you what I'm picking up energetically is a week ago, sweetie, you were really good and your chemicals and your brain and your body are changing. And today you're a little out of sorts, as you said. But the thing is that what you can do is, so what does your day look like? Tell me what you're going to do today. I know that sounds strange, but I want to just see what your day is going to be.
Well, like, shopping, and I've been packing and getting rid of stuff, just clearing out all my personal stuff to move back home.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
Been somewhat overwhelming. But my main concern is I suffer from cardio neurogenic episodes. And
yes.
It makes it quite difficult for me to manage my ADD bipolar, because I'm extremely sensitive to the medications that are required. I'm on the low end of the continuum, you know.
Exactly.
But it's still, even with the non-Western, you know, alternative approaches, I'm still not able to reach, you know, in terms of optimal performance. And my difficulty is, of course, focus and sustaining action.
Well, yeah, and a lot of that,
I, yes.
I'm sorry, a lot of that has to really do with the meds themselves, honey, and what they're doing, because what the meds are doing and the cardio syndrome that you have, what the meds are trying to do is to stabilize the messages that the brain is creating from that parasympathetic nervous system, that involuntary system. It's trying to get those messages down into the vascular system, getting it into the heart and so forth. So we'll have some stability there. But what they're also doing is they're trying to balance in the meds the imbalance of the deficiencies between the serotonin and dopamine. And that's what's tied specifically to the bipolar and tied to some degrees to the ADD. So what they're doing is they're trying to deal with that deficiency. And when your body is in alignment with itself or in sync with itself, then what I find is that the meds themselves work in harmony. When you get into the place where you're entering into now, where the deficiency becomes pronounced, the meds have to work harder, or maybe you need to stay more focused, which is a difficult thing because both of those things affect you. So having said all that, so what we need to do, there's a couple things. The move back home, hon, is going to be very good for you. And I know that, you know, it is causing you to get rid of a lot of things, but really you have a lot of things that you don't need. Your little red wagon is really overpacked. And so you have that. Moving back home will be good for you because it's going to give you first the connection with home, which is important. I'm feeling that you feel a little bit lost at this moment in time. And it'll bring you back to being home. And the other thing is, sweetie, is it's going to put you into that caregiver, caretaker role of who you are, that, you know, a lot of people say, oh my gosh, I don't want to do that role. Well, maybe for them it's not right, but for you, it gives you purpose. It gives you a sense of who you are. It gives you the identity. And the challenge that my sense is why I've got this little bit of, you know, falling down in the energy of who you are and the deficiencies of the neurotransmitters, is that what you're doing when you're letting go now is you're letting go literally of physical things, but now you're going in and going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do emotionally? Am I going to fall back into those old patterns? You know, will they be the same demands? And what I'd like you to hear from me via your soul is moving back home is about recreating yourself. It's not about being who you were. And your soul says, if you can, every day, that's why I ask you your what your day was, and you said you're going shopping, and my first thought was the soul goes, woohoo, retail therapy, I love it. But what it's going to do is if you can remember that the things that happen at home are all about recreating and about letting go of the emotional part of it. Oh my gosh, you're going to come through it so much better. And then what I'll find is I can already find in that bipolar tendency of you where you would go from that fearless to fearful that would actually last maybe a month and a half, maybe even longer. Right now, your highs and lows are maybe a week, maybe 10 days at the very most. That lets you know that your meds are working. So what you're doing, what you're taking is working for you.
And right now, I'm not on meds. I've been able to maintain, you know, what
Wow.
But I'm also, you know, because of the stress and stuff, I feel like I may need the assistance of medications. And I'm afraid to go back on medications just because of the way it affects me.
Well, you know what? I didn't know, first of all, that you weren't on meds. I'm not ever allowed to go, woo, I knew that. But the thing is where you are, is there's been stabilization. Where I'm picking you up today, you're a little bit low on things. So the thing is with the meds, if you could see those as helping your body chemically stay, neurotransmitter-wise, stay where it needs to, and using it that way, then all that kind of emotional stigmatism that's attached to them will not be as negative for you, and it'll be able to give you the reprieve. That's all we're looking for, sweetie. We know now that your body can do it. We just may need a little reprieve. Going back home is going to be healthy, healthy, healthy for you. But it's going back in and not knowing it's healthy, healthy, healthy for you. So, well, lots of love and light to you, and, you know, gold stars, good job. And, you know, I'll touch you every so often. You touch me in that vibe mail, as I call it, and we'll see where we're going. Thanks very much,
Thank
Yvonne.
You
Appreciate
so much.
You.
Mahalo, Carol.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Well, if you please stay tuned, I'm going to be right back and talk a little bit more about healing and curing. So stay tuned.
you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Listening live right now? Visit our chat room at contacttalkradio.com and join in on the online chat.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Edgar Casey said, healing of the physical without change in the mental and spiritual aspects of being really are very little help to the individual in the end. And again, that's what healing is all about. It's about peeling back those layers and not just focusing on the physical. Now, if you hurt or you have an illness, whether it's a chronic illness or a life-threatening illness, it's easy for me to be here on the radio and say, you know, we really need to focus on that healing. When that body is screaming out and crying out for help, then we have to go to that curing approach. We have to go in and literally relieve it of the discomfort. Again, so the mind and the spirit itself, spirit meaning energy, can feel, be free enough to be able to allow the body to go back into the ability to restore itself. Magnificent instrument, the human body. I said first segment, we can, you know, kind of beat the daylights out of it and forget about it and not give it what it needs. And you know what? Every night we go to sleep, it still does what it's designed. It still tries to detox itself. It still tries to repair itself. It still rejuvenates itself. It still rebuilds tissue. It still produces the cells and healthy cells. And it still tries in everything humanly possible in that body to revitalize itself. The soul and the body are inseparable. When the body speaks to us, if we could become aware of what it's trying to say to us, then it'll give us a clue as to what to do. For example, discomfort. Discomfort is the body's way of saying, okay, something that you're saying, doing, and thinking is not in alignment with your soul's desire. Pain is, let's stop it. Put the brakes on. We need to go in and find out what that is. Illness is, we've gone too far. Let's back it up. It can be healed, but let's back it up. Let's pull it back to the point where we can peel back the layers itself. When I find the way the body talks, when the body becomes generally fatigued, and we may have chronic fatigue, or we may have fibromyalgia, or some of the other ailments that are associated with the immune system disorders that we're having, what the soul is trying to say via the body is, you're overwhelmed. You're feeling like your life is out of control. Not only is your bucket full, it's overflowing. And that what you're experiencing is a negative reaction to what's happening in your life instead of a positive reaction. Dr. Stephen Covey in his books, The Seven Effective Habits. Oh gosh, Dr. Covey, my apologies. It's about the seven habits. We'll go there. For some reason, it went away. Typical of my mind. What we're going to do is he calls it the urgency addiction. And when we get into that urgency addiction, we feel discomfort. Urgency addiction is we do what's urgent versus what's important. And healing requires us to go in and do what's important. I hear this in my self-talk all the time. You know, Carol, you could find 15 minutes in your day to go sit at your sewing machines. I love to sew. I love to create that way. People think writing books are creative. It is, but it's very left brain. So my right brain needs to have that creativity. And about 10 o'clock at night when I'm getting overly tired, I think, okay, I'm going to go get that 15 minutes. I go into my beautiful sewing machine, one that I've lusted over my entire childhood, since I've been sewing at 8 years old, I finally got one. And I come in and I turn that thing on, and you know, I'm so darn tickled. I don't necessarily sew. I just tickled that it's turned on. And then the next day I'll do a little bit more. Maybe I'll push a few buttons and so forth. So again, something as simple as 15 minutes a day, as well as an apple a day, can keep the doctor away. Whenever we go into pain, what it's trying to tell us is that there's emotional compromise. Oh, Rebecca, I love you. The 7 habits of highly effective people. Are we a good team or what? So thank you so much for your help on that one. So what we do is when we go in and we get pain, what the soul is doing is saying that we have emotional compromise and that we have emotional needs that are going to need to be met. Again, if we're doing things that are urgent, we don't always take the time to be able to do that. Distress or pain tells us also that we're putting the needs of other people before our own. Now, I know that that's a wonderful quality about all of us that does it. But again, when we do that, basically other people are running our lives. We're not even running our lives. So we're being driven by their demands versus our own. So some of the distressed or the pain-related illnesses that are tied to that include depression, again, fibromyalgia, eating disorders, and hormone imbalances. When tension is tied to thoughts, we get muscle tension. We get headaches. We get chemistry changes. Our thoughts change. We become negative. Our attitudes change. We become negative. Our perception of life changes. It becomes negative. And then all of a sudden, if we hold that for a long period of time, then what we're going to do is we find that maybe we'll develop a chronic illness. Are we being punished? Please hear me. We are not. It's just the soul and the body's way of saying, stop. Take a deep breath. Look at your life. Look at what you're feeling. You know, emotionally, I get this all the time. I'll say, work with someone and I'll say, I find some anger. And they'll go, Carol, you do not. I'm not an angry person. I said, I'm sorry. I find anger in you. And I'll say, well, are you a little upset? Well, yeah. Are you a little frustrated? Well, I'm a lot frustrated. Are you resenting things? Well, sure. I resent a lot of things. And then are you angry? Well, you know, I guess I am. So are you a little angry? No, I'm probably a lot angry. So how angry are you? And sometimes in that dialogue, it's easy to have somebody else help us with those emotional connections. But if we could just take a deep breath around any kind of illness, whether it's chronic or life-threatening, and really go in and say, what emotion am I truly feeling? And honor when that emotion comes forward, because our soul's going to give it to us. Honor that. And then the next thing the soul says, how do we want to change this? If it's anger, what do you want to change it to? Is it joy? Is it happiness? Is it peace? Is it bliss? Is it just feeling better? And then the soul will help you through the process. That's what healing is all about. So again, when you go in and you look at these different aspects, when we have a chronic illness, what it's trying to do is it's saying maybe we have a thyroid disorder. But thyroid is fifth chakra. It's all about speaking our truth. And we're so conditioned in our humanness to not speak our truth. In fact, when I was working with the guides that I work with, and I was asking them about illness a while back, they said, well, illness is part of the process of not asking the questions that you desire to ask. And I thought that was really strange. And they said to me, how many times in your life, Carol, do you ask questions you think you should instead of asking questions you really desire? And I thought about that. And then they said, and then the next part of it is that why is it, Carol, you stay so busy in your mind? You never stay in a place mentally, emotionally, spiritually, energetically to be able to hear the answers to the questions that you finally asked. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is what illness does. Illness is just saying to us, stop, ask the questions, participate in your healing. Wanting the desire to make yourself better and more than you were before. That's what healing is. Curing is the band-aid on the boo-boo that we need sometimes to get us back into that healing that our soul desires for us. Our body will work very hard to do. Our mind really doesn't like to be fixated on the things that it fixates on. My first caller about the monkey mind. We all have that monkey mind. Sometimes we have to honor that. And then you know what? Deep down inside, we're going to find what's really important. That's healing. And so again, the difference between healing and curing. So what I want to do is let's jump in to another call, and then I'm going to end the show by sharing some of the things that you can do that are tied to healing versus curing. And they're things that, you know, we really could do every day. It's only a single, maybe a thought or a second, or maybe it's like with me with my sewing machine. Maybe it's just 15 minutes a day. It'll help keep those aches and pains away. So let's go into Jessica from California. Hi, Jessica, line three.
Hi there.
Hi there, hon. Thanks for calling me. Oh my gosh, you have the most magnificent, big, bright light. Oh, you're huge, honey. Has everybody ever told you that?
No, but I had a feeling you would for some reason.
Oh my gosh. I want to unzip your little body and I just want the whole you to shine. Oh my gosh. Oh gosh. Thank you. Okay. So that was good. That was fun. Okay. So let's see. How can I help you then?
Well, so I'm 24 and I've been having a lot of health issues since I was about 19. And the biggest one that, well, the most uncomfortable one for me is dissociation. So a lot of the time I feel outside my body, and about 5 years ago, my vision seemed to change and the world looks very distorted to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone to a lot of doctors, lots and lots of doctors, and you know, there's no diagnosis. They can't really find anything. And it comes with some other symptoms and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to take, first of all, a different approach. And I'm going to, you know, you opened yourself up to show me this light. The first thing I want to say to you, sweetie, is you're an indigo. In my world, I would call you a multidimensional. And what that means is that it's like you've got one foot in the world of reality and trying to live in this world. And then the other part of it is a very spiritual part of you with it's in that, non-visible universal world. Your mission, should you choose to accept it on this lifetime, is to be able to somehow bridge what you know deep within your wisdom, that universal greater consciousness, with the consciousness of your everyday life and the everyday life of others. As a result, you're going to feel like you've got one foot in one world and one foot in the other, and you're not going to sometimes know where you should put your energy. And the most important thing I can say to you is to put your energy on what's important to you at that moment. That's all you can do. When you can focus on the moment, be present in the moment, any incoming information that you get via your physical senses and your intuition is going to be able to connect with your brain to where your brain can go in and come in and connect the dots. The disassociation that you're experiencing is you're a right hemispheric being. You rely on hidden messages. You look for nonverbal clues. You look for patterns. You pick up vibe mail all the time. And you see the world through symbology and pictures. The disassociation comes when those pictures come very quickly and it goes over to the left brain, and the left brain has to put a word or an experience to what you're picking up. In that process, when I go into that left frontal lobe, there is some, it's nothing to be concerned about, but I do have to point it out, is there's something in that frontal lobe, there's a part that there's some nerve synapses that just aren't firing the way that they need to. My sense is this has to do with the family genetic history around, some chemistry imbalances in the body that could be a precursor for depression or thyroid issues or something like that. That may be why you get some of these feelings of almost mania, where you're high, you're low, where the depression comes, or it's not really depression. I can't classify it because it's not clinically that, but there I can feel some melancholy in you. Mm-hmm. And when something happens, it's like, wow, this isn't the way this world's supposed to be. This mm-hmm. isn't what I'm feeling. And, you know, I'm so hopeful about humanity, and I'm so hopeful. And why do they keep getting themselves in, you know, in these holes and digging their own holes and burying themselves? So the work that you're doing at your soul level is so much greater than what's on this earth plane. When I go into that left hemisphere, when those images come in, you get your words, but taking those words and forming sentences and then being able to act on them is where you get the disassociation. And as a result, you may not be able to comprehend as much from your experiences, or you may not be able to think as clearly, or sometimes I can call it connecting the dots with it. And what it means is the picture looks good, the word is right, but it just doesn't sound right to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that disassociation. So that's the first place I want to go. Sweetie, you're an indigo. You're a blessed indigo that is trying your entire life to find balance between wisdom and acquired knowledge, between the cosmos and the universe and our human manifestation. You're a very courageous soul for coming here and mm-hmm. taking on that challenge. In the genetics of who you are, there are a couple of things. In the pituitary gland, in the gland itself, is that I can find some chemistry imbalances. In the hypothalamus, I can find some chemistry imbalances. And what that's doing is it's causing a chemical imbalance throughout your body, meaning that things happen and how you emotionally see them and feel them should set your adrenals off like World War III. But what happens is the adrenals are in there going, okay, I have an incoming message. Let's wait and see what this is all about. And then you get that incoming message. And by the time the adrenals figure out that, holy smoly, this is really not a good place to be, they kick in. Now it's like your rest of your body and your brain's going, so where do I go now? What do I do now? So having said all that, I don't believe, truthfully, that any doctor is going to be able to give you a clear diagnosis. But what I will tell you is that I will encourage you to do something called HemiSync, H-E-M-I-S-Y-N-C. It is a Robert Monroe created it. It is the using music in a way to be able to retrain and entrain the brain hemispheres, right, left, to be able to dialogue the way that they need. That will bring you present in the moment via music. The other aspect that I would encourage you to do is to get yourself a metronome. That's that little dot, dot, dot that we use for a piano and so forth. That is going to help your brain retrain itself. The nerve synapses in that left frontal lobe are not a problem, except they are what is associated with past history and memory. And you don't have a lot in a soul, past history and memory, because being in this body is somewhat new to you, truthfully. That's why I wanted to unzip you. But you do have a history in this current lifetime that you could connect the dots to. So what we want to do is we want to do things through the metronome, through music, through focusing, being present in the moment, to create detours around this genetic predisposition and to just create these new detours. And then you're going to find that you can really work with yourself. I would encourage you to avoid foods that are complex carbohydrates. Simple carbohydrates that are going to spike your sugar.
Yeah.
And so if you can make yourself do some dietary changes, that would be able to help you also. And that would give you some clarity of thinking. And the reason I say that, sweetie, is it will deal with you with candida.
Mm-hmm.
And candida, when it goes rampant in your body, I can taste it in your mouth and I can feel it in your ears. And what it'll do is it can create some of the disassociation also. So don't feed the candida in your lower gut, and that'll help you with your clarity. So the doctors, they really have tried, but they just, it's not just a one size fits all, and the symptoms bounce around enough that they really don't know where to go. And what I would do, sweetie, is I would do this more from a psychological, what I call psycho-spiritual approach. You're an indigo, a courageous indigo. You can walk between both worlds. And if you can find the tools to keep you present in the moment, your brain will rewire itself to where you will feel engaged in your humanly life. And then what that will do is it will give you the hope that you need in order to be able to move to the next step. And that is, what do you want to do right now? What do you want to bring to this world? How can you balance these two worlds? That's really your work. That's really your work. So I know that it may not give your body, and that I know it doesn't give your mind what it needs, but I've filled your mind full of a lot of stuff. Your brain's in there going, I don't recognize this information, Carol. But what I did is we created a file called Indigo, multidimensional. We talked about energy. I unzipped you and I made you bigger. And so now I've got these little archives, these little files in your database. And when someone else says something to you, your brain is going to go in there and go, oh, I've heard this before. I'm going to file that in this file, this file, this file. And then you'll find you'll be much more present in the moment, engaged in life. So we did a little bit of mental rewiring. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Carol.
Oh, you're just a beautiful, beautiful light, sweetie. Please hold that. And I'll just keep, I'll send you a reminder via mail every so often about that.
Please do.
My blessings, love. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So there are actually seven different things that we can do to heal ourselves. The most important thing that we can do, and this is really a tied to healing itself, is always keep hope alive. And how do we do that? We develop a gratitude attitude. Right now, you know, no doom and gloom, but right now there is this real tension between thought that was and the new thought that's coming in, the thoughts that's there. And so it's important for us to be able to look at the things that we really are grateful about. And, you know, sometimes that isn't about the most obvious. Sometimes it's about just being able to go outside and all of a sudden you see a little flower that's probably been there for a week and you didn't notice it. The gratitude to be able to have your five physical senses to see, hear, touch, taste, smell, and hear, touch, taste, and smell. We got them all, Carol. And all of those things I learned in my near-death experience, those are the rewards of life. When I can have that 2:30 mocha in the afternoon, life is good. When I can pet my little dog and I can smell her and kiss her face. In fact, people go, God, Carol, you're kissing your dog. You bet I am. When I can smell Bruce, my husband, and his cologne, and it brings back such memories. Those are the things to be grateful for. Find joy in everything you do, even when it's cleaning house or doing laundry. You know, just be darn glad you can do it. And then to be able to think, you know, this is really good, and turn it into something that is playful. Most important, laugh more. Laugh more. Interesting study happened several years ago. Actually, it's about 10 years ago, where there was a study around laughter, and it found that children laughed anywhere from 300 times to maybe 500 times a day. And when they looked at adults, maybe we were 15 or 17. That was on a good day. So you know what? If you can't laugh, turn on something that makes you laugh. If you don't know what that is, go see I Love Lucy. If you want to ever laugh, and I know they're on DVD, go to the one where she's on that assembly line with Ethel, trying to get those candies, and it's going faster and faster. That's kind of where life is. And you know, life is like a candy store, and she can't get them off quick enough off the conveyor belt, so she's stuffing them in her mouth. Laugh more. Keep your eye on what you want, and keep your eye off what you don't want. If you focus on what you want, then that's what you will attract. That is the law of attraction. Always turn inward for guidance. When we ask people who we are, what we can do, what we're capable of, we always see ourselves through their eyes, and they really don't know who we are. They may think they do, but they don't. So always go in. Interesting, two interesting questions for each of us, every one of us, in the healing that we're seeking on so many levels. Two questions to be asking ourselves right now. What am I really good at? Second question, what do I love? And if you can find the answers to those, then you're going to laugh more, find joy, and develop that gratitude attitude. The other part of it is live present in the moment. Healing does not occur when living in the past, nor does it occur in the future. The only way we know where we are mentally, emotionally, spiritually, energetically, or in our soul is present in the moment, so we can, in fact, see at that moment, are we in alignment with our desires? Are we feeling positive? Are we feeling negative? Is our body humming along and singing along, or do we have aches and pains? One small step at a time in that present moment. You know, another thing is, people will say, well, Carol, isn't healing like a circle? No, it really isn't. They'll say, well, then it's like a straight line. It's a continuum. We have good health and bad health, and somewhere a good day is in that good health side. But if you could really go in and you could see healing, it's like a vortex. It's like a spiral. And you can start at the bottom and be sucked to the top, or you can start at the top and be sucked to the bottom. You can join in on any of the spirals, because if you have a visualization of a spiral, it just that has these openings in it. And what it'll do is wherever you jump in, whether it's mentally, emotionally, spiritually, meaning energetically, or connecting with your soul, you will touch what you're looking for in order to be able to heal. Last thought, and this is number 8, and it isn't something that I always talk about, but one of the things, if you have not ever worked with a mandala, it is a circle. In that circle, you create your healing that you desire. Important, important. And in fact, when I say this, I can think of Louise Hay, and I can think of a woman, and I'm going to say her name because bless her heart, she is absolutely a walking miracle. Bobby Goodwin is her name. Bobby came to me when she was 88 years old, and she was suffering from chronic illnesses, and she said, Carol, I just can't seem to do what I did even when I was 60. And do you know what she did? We looked at illness, and we looked at it and said, you know what? This is what it looks like, Bobby. Every day she did a mandala. Every day she colored in that circle what good health, what healing looked like. And I'm going to tell you, Bobby just turned 91. And you know what? I get emails every so often from her and says, you know what? I love being 91. I don't want to go back to being 60. I think every day that I wake up is a great day. Interesting, isn't it? Thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you for all of the callers. I do have a teleclass tomorrow night on depression. If you're interested, go to my website, www.ritberger.com. I'm going to look at depression from every single angle and offer some ideas on how to be able to treat it from an alternative or a holistic standpoint. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. I will be back next Wednesday on Contact Talk Radio. Have a great one.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.